All right, I know you did not come for me, so I get it. We are all here for the children, and praise the Lord for them. I know so many of them from Wednesday nights, and they know if it was Wednesday night, I would say, what is tonight? It's the best night of the week. And honestly, it's your children that make that. So if you don't know me, my name is Aubrey Arrington. I actually am normally long-winded, so I've written my notes so I would be succinct. On most Sunday mornings, I can be found teaching an adult Sunday school class. Pastor said young married. When I started, we were young married. Not anymore. If you've never come to Sunday school, or you think Sunday school is only for children, I'd really like to encourage you to reconsider. It's a lot more than that. And we have several adult Sunday school classes, each with a different teacher, different participants, and honestly a different vibe, but all of them are focused on the Scriptures. And I really encourage you to consider coming. Come meets an hour before church. Finding and getting plugged into the right Sunday school class has been a tremendous blessing for me here at Beacon, and I think it could be for you too. On Wednesday evenings, I often can be found teaching Kids Club. It is my favorite night of the week, without a doubt. If you've ever come and you were really, really lucky, you'll get to see my incredible drawings. And if you don't get that, the kids might appreciate that. You can ask the kids on the drive home with a wink, right? Anyways, last Wednesday evening at Kids Club, I asked your children what I should preach on. I said, hey, I get to preach after the kids program, music program. What should I preach on? I got a lot of responses. I gave them cards to write it down. One, preach about not stealing because my younger sibling takes my stuff and lies. I was like, I could just stop right there. But preach on why we should have faith in Christ always. These are like literally from your children. Why we should have faith in Christ always. Preach on when Satan tried to destroy Job and tried to get him to curse God for families going through hard times. These are things your children are writing, right? Preach on Luke 2 so everyone can know God sent Jesus for us. You should preach about how Jesus was born. A Savior is born. Preach on Jesus' birth because Kids Choir is singing Christmas songs and it's December. They got really plain for me. So tonight I'm going to take the advice of your lovely children and I'm going to preach on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is exactly what they just sang on. And I will be preaching predominantly the story, but I'll be looking at Matthew 1 and 2, Luke 2, and John 1, and I'll be succinct. You won't have to turn there. And the title of my message is, Who Are You in the Christmas Story? Hopefully, you know the Christmas story. If you don't know it, if you don't know it truly well in your heart, you just saw it saying to you, we had the innkeeper, I'm going to call that guy out in purple down here. Right? We had Mary, we had Joseph, we had the whole crew, but you probably know them already in your heart, in your mind. And for tonight, I want you to consider, in the few minutes that we have, and I promise to be brief, who you are in the Christmas story that is unfolding in your life literally right now, because it is the Christmas season, and you are a player in the Christmas story this year. Let's pray. Father, we pray to you this evening, Lord, and we think of these children, Lord, in their pure hearts, standing before you and singing. And we rejoice for the heritage that they represent. We rejoice for the goodness that they represent. Lord, we thank you that we, like these children, can come before you with a humble heart, simple faith, Lord, and look to you as our Savior. Lord, thank you for saving us, for Christ, the greatest gift, the unspeakable gift. Lord, I pray you would guide our hearts tonight, Lord, to examine ourselves and seek how we might be reconciled to you, our great Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm in Luke 2. I'm just going to read briefly here, Luke 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You'd be freaked out if angels showed up out of thin air. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. In Kids Club, I love to ask the kids questions. They're always like dancing out of their chair with answers, wanted to be engaged. And I've got questions for you, but I'm scared to ask them, you know, because this you guys may not be as well behaved as a kid. So these questions are going to be rhetorical tonight. But I do want you to think about them. So who are the main characters? Who are the characters that come to mind in the Christmas story? And do you relate to them? Mary, obviously, right? Mary gets the mic drop. She is the mother of our Savior. We're definitely not Mary. None of us will give birth to Jesus. But we think about Mary in Luke 1:30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And don't you know, without that event, there's no Christmas story, and there's no Savior, and literally there's no hope. You are undone and absolutely dejected. It is overwhelming to think of if it weren't for Mary and the way that God used her. Next up, Joseph. Dude was completely out of, probably shouldn't say dude, sorry. Joseph, our man, was completely out of sorts because of the confusing nature of God's plan. Think about this. He's espoused to Mary, and all of a sudden she's like, I got to tell you something. She's like, sit down, my friend. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, which is it's unconceivable. Like, what in the world? Then Joseph, her husband, being a rational, logical human being, saying, how many times in the history of humanity has this occurred? None. This seems like a ploy to me. Being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Think about the heartbreak that news brought to him, which would be logical to any. He did not go out and be like, yo, we need to gather up some stones and let's take this girl out. Even with a massively broken heart, he was minded to do things, it says here, privily. I think that's something to think about. Are you Joseph when someone offends you? Or are you just like, I'm going to slay them as publicly as I can? That's not how Joseph worked, and thank the Lord, right? Another major player we got is the innkeeper. Sadly, I think probably too many of us can relate to the innkeeper. Innkeeper ain't got no time or room for Jesus or his people, sad but true. You've got people around you, they might be in your family, they might be extended, they might be neighbors, and they don't have time. Men, if that's you, you will sadly have eternity to consider the consequences of the actions of not being able to take moments in this earthly life. Shepherds, I think I was speaking to Ned. I think it was Ned, might have been Rick before. And I was like, dude, who do you want to be, right? Christmas story, you get to be someone. They're like, sign me up, shepherds. I'm like, man, I'm so down. Hanging out, mountainside, you got some sheep doing their noises around you. And like an angel just shows up and starts singing. That's crazy. Totally crazy. But that's how God works, right? He just shows up many times uninvited in your life. It could be amazing news. It could be tragic news. It could be heartbreak. He shows up. And you know what I love about the shepherds? They were there, right? They were abiding in the field. The angel shows up. In verse 16, and it says, and they came with haste. When God shows up in your life, you don't have anything else that can rival that message. Set everything else down and look to your Savior. Do it now, right? Kids' song, Do It Now, Don't Delay. If you know that song, sing it in your mind and think about that. That's a song and a message for adults in dealing with God and spiritual things. The wise men, you might call them the Magi, they were amazing. They had studied or heard about someone. I think they knew this because of Daniel. And I wanted actually to preach about Daniel being in exile and how faithful he was, even as a young man. But again, your kids got a hold of me. I had to preach Christmas Story. But these wise men, they're over in Persia, right? And they're like, we've seen a star, and they come, right? They brought of their time, their talents, and their treasure. They invested, they poured themselves into going to see this new king. Who is this new king born amongst the Hebrews? And they came, right? And curiously then, after meeting Christ, after giving of their treasures to Christ, it says they departed into their own country another way. And don't you know, if you've truly met Christ, you have left a different way than how you arrived. And you had left an entirely different person. It says when Matthew 2, it says when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. And these are really important statused men. And it says, and they fell down and worshiped him. Their status just melted off of them when they stood before the Savior. They worshiped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh, which carried Mary and Joseph and Jesus through tumultuous years. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Have you met Jesus in such a way that you were transformed? If you have not, you have not met him. Next up in my list of Christmas characters, what's that guy, the It's a Wonderful Life? It's not him. Anyways, what's a bad guy in It's a Wonderful Life, right? Mr. Potter or something like that? Okay, in the Jesus story, it's evil King Herod. Think about this. This man was so disturbed by the thought that he would be dethroned, that he literally had all of the children 2 years and younger killed in an entire region of Israel. That is pure, unadulterated evil. I cannot fathom anyone sitting in the room as that evil. But sadly, do you know what? The Bible says that if we are apart from Christ, if we have not been forgiven, if our sins have not been taken away by the blood of Christ, if we've not put on the robe of righteousness, of Christ's righteousness, and laid our sins aside, it says that we are enemies of the cross, and we are God's enemies. And so, as bad as Herod is, and we could all sit around and think about how angry he was when he realized he was mocked of the wise men. He says he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. We're like, how evil, no more evil than us literally charging the gates of heaven as enemies and affront to God and his great Savior that he has sent for us. Trying to be brief, I've got a ton of stories. There are all these characters up here, right? We haven't really dwelled on the angels or many others, but I'll just ask you again, rhetorically, think in your mind, and kids, you guys, like, if we were in Wednesday night, you'd be like, what about everyone? Winston would have like 50 people he'd want me to know. And I'd be like, I didn't hear about some of them, but okay. So who did I miss in your mind? Who did I miss on the Christmas story? Because there are all these characters, right? Well, I kind of missed... I kind of miss baby Jesus, right? I mean, none of y'all baby Jesus. Why? I could say that more emphatically than I can say none of you are King Herod, because none of us are without Christ, without sin, not a single one of us. None of us on our own could stand in the presence of God and rejoice. Sadly, none of us are Christ. Not a single one of us, as good as you think you are, not one of us. There's another character that's on my mind that I want you to think about. One other one is not Jesus. is a kind of like just barely slightly older cousin. Might be a second cousin, we're not certain. You know who I'm talking about? Who is it, Selah? John the Baptist. He was literally thrilled to hear the very first mention of Jesus. He was yet in his mother's womb. Mary rolls in and he's doing cartwheels. Now, a lot of babies do that. It's crazy. But very few of them do them on prompt when your cousin rolls in and says, "Hey, good news, I'm having the Savior." And they're like, "Yes." Do you know why John was so excited? Because literally the Old Testament said John. That's why Zacharias had to name this kid John. That's why he couldn't speak until he held up the sign. I kind of missed it. I remember Reese holding the sign, John. They used to do a sign in the play. I was hoping for that. All right. We you know, things change. All right. I'm okay with change. John the Baptist, right? He literally was thrilled to hear the very first mention of Jesus. And I want you to ask yourself, when someone mentions Jesus around you, are you kind of ashamed? Are you kind of quiet? Are you kind of like turn and walk away? Are you drawn in? Praise the Lord, tell me more, right? Tell me more. And then, not part of the Christmas story, but sure enough coming soon, the very beginning of Christ's ministry, it's John the Baptist, right? Luke 1:39. Sorry. I have notes for a reason. John 1:29. This is right before Jesus gets baptized by John, the actual Baptist. The next day, John 1:29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Any points? John's got followers at this point. He's got his people, and they're following him. And he points, and he's like, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Unlike Herod, who was like, "I got to go kill that to maintain my power and authority," John pointed. He looked at his people, and he's like, "There he is." And John literally backed up and sat down. He's like, "This is not about me. This is about him." And so, who are you? You cannot be Herod. Please. It's impossible. For sure you're not Christ. On your own merit, you cannot stand before God. But all of these others, if they will go to Christ, not as a baby, but as a Savior, as the Lord God Almighty, and recognize him and his goodness, he will literally become your advocate and fight on your behalf. Who are you? Let's pray. Father, we pray to you this evening, Lord. We are thankful for these children who sing with pure hearts and worship your name, Lord, and memorize your scriptures. Lord, we are thankful to you for your amazing goodness, for sending Christ that we might know you and might have eternal fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.